It is that time. What is going on, Nashville? Happy Thirsty Thursday here on 104.5 The Zone. Lucas is here. I am here. We are with you, of course, until 1 o'clock. We appreciate you guys spending your time 10 to 1 right here with us on 104.5 The Zone. We will soon be live streaming across all of The Zone's social platforms. In fact, I am told that the live stream is up and running on Facebook, on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch TV. Welcome in. Hope you're feeling just fine on this Thursday. We've got a lot of stuff to discuss over the course of this morning. I have a quarterback conspiracy theory. I was up, you know, it's like the scene in Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where you've got the murder cases mapped out across the city. You're drawing connections all over the place. That's what I was doing last night with quarterbacks while I was watching Kirk Herbstreit.
There is no Carol.
I was watching Kirk Herbstreit on Scott Van Pelt Sports Center talking about quarterbacks, and like my brain started going crazy. So I don't know if it's going to make any damn sense later, but I've got a quarterback conspiracy theory that we'll talk about over the course of this morning. Big news for Vols Hoops. You heard in Lucas's update, I'm not sure how I feel about Lucas saying vibing in the update, or vibin, no G. The Preds.
Ryan Johansson's words, not mine.
I know. The Preds, listen, their social media team is, they do a good job, but it's so extra with the vibin, like they put it to music. It's like a mashup. And I listened to it twice and it just made me want to slam my head into a wall. So we'll talk.
It did its job if you listened to it not once but twice.
Well, you know, I wanted to see it's not everything hits you right the first time. Like movies. Step Brothers didn't hit me right the first time. I didn't like Step Brothers the first time that I watched it. And then I watched it probably two or three more times and I got the jokes better. So I was trying to make sure that I want to give it a fair shake, and then it ultimately ended up annoying me, so twice was enough. Thank you very much. We'll have Mike Felder from Stadium. We'll have Mike and Mike here today on the show. Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel talking a lot of college football, a lot of Vols talk, both football and basketball in the recruiting game. But we start in the obvious place this morning. By the way, if you want to interact with the show, 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. 615-737-1045. You can interact with us in the Facebook live chat, on Periscope, in the YouTube chat. We are everywhere live streaming this morning on 104.5 The Zone if you would like to interact with the show. But we start in the obvious place. I was on my way to go try and work out this morning, successfully, unsuccessfully, however you want to consider it. But I went. You know, it's the effort that counts. And I turn on J. Martin Ramon. Now, Rep Brian is filling in this morning for obvious reasons, because Jason Martin was on baby watch. Well, when I was leaving said workout, failed or otherwise, I got back in the car, turned on the radio, and heard Jason calling in with an update on baby watch. So it is my understanding that Jason Martin and his wife Abby have now had their beautiful little 6-pound, 8-ounce girl, Clara Grace Martin. Happy birthday to you.
And happy birthday to him. I don't care. Good luck.
Well, we need to change it, Stephen A. Stephen A, it's Clara. It's not a him, it's a her.
And we do care.
We do, of course, care. Congratulations to Jason, to Abby, who did, of course, all of the work throughout the course of this thing, and then to beautiful little Clara Grace. Safe and sound is what Jason says at JMart Radio, and ready for the world at 37 weeks. My wife was amazing, and our daughter is incredible. So congratulations to Jason and his family. Maybe we find a way to like edit a her into Stephen A. Smith's drop so that we're prepared.
I'm not doing that right now. I won't let you do that to me.
It's disappointing. 615-737-1045. So yeah, I'm listening to J. Martin Ramon this morning. And they had a great conversation. Check out the J. Martin Ramon podcast, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. Everybody's calling in because Ramon is sharing stories about his childhood growing up, how he came to fatherhood at a young age. Rhett Bryan and his family, of course, have an amazing story with how they adopted their little girl. I have a similar story in my family. Like we're many United Nations. I'm Egyptian American. My dad, I have a stepbrother and a stepsister. They're full blown Egyptian. They live in Cairo. I have a little sister, Lily, who was adopted from China. So I really, really enjoyed hearing Rhett Bryan's stories on that front. But also when everybody was calling in to talk about, you know, their experiences as fathers, their experiences as parents, I was sitting in the car. I was like, Lucas, how the hell are we going to talk about this today? Because you and I are nowhere close, or at least I don't think I'm close to anywhere close to having children. And I called you this morning. I didn't want to put you on the spot because we're both in relationships. You've been dating your girlfriend for how long?
4 years.
Okay. Dara and I are coming up on 2 years of dating on April the 28th. It was the 2019 NFL draft weekend here in Nashville. That's how it makes my life a lot easier to remember that, because both things are coming up very quickly and both things I'm usually unprepared for. So Dara and I have been dating for 2 years, Lucas and his girlfriend for 4 years, and neither of us are anywhere close to having children. Is that something that you've ever thought about, Lucas? Like the idea of having kids?
Like I've often said, if I was told right now, you have to have a kid within the next 2 years or you will never have a kid for the rest of your life, I'd say, done, see ya, I'm good.
No children for
nope.
You.
I'm good.
If whatever higher power came down from above and said, Lucas, you either have a child at age 25 with your girlfriend of 4 years or never have a child, you would pick the latter.
I'd pick my freedom. And I might change my tone in 5-10 years. Like, I totally get that.
Oh, sure.
But if I'm told in the next 2 years, you got to do it, nope, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this.
I feel great about it.
Well, I'm sitting here watching. Oh, by the way, breaking news. Breaking news in the middle of our conversation. Brandon Huntley Hatfield has announced his reclassification into the class of 2021 and commitment to Tennessee Volunteer Hoops per Paul Biancardi. I want to make sure that I pronounce Paul's name correctly. National recruiting director for ESPN reporting. Huntley Hatfield moves to number 19 overall in the ESPN top 100 prospects. This is something that we're going to talk a lot about with Mike Wilson. Vols hoops, massive commitments over the last couple of days. I was sitting here with my jaw basically on the console with Will Bowling, who is also in here today, making sure that everything runs smoothly internet-wise, and with Lucas, because they were talking about the number one recruit in the state of North Carolina committing to Rick Barnes at Tennessee.
And now the number one power forward in the country committing to Rick Barnes in Tennessee.
So the question is, does this make you feel better about Rick Barnes as the head coach of Tennessee basketball? Because all throughout the course of the tournament, the central focus is on Mick Cronin and UCLA. Mick Cronin, who was hired by UCLA really almost exclusively because Rick Barnes wasn't going to get enough money from UCLA to go from Tennessee to UCLA. Rick Barnes and Tennessee out in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Mick Cronin makes the Final Four as an 11 seed. So the conversation becomes, do you feel better about Rick Barnes? Because for all of his tournament woes, now that matters. That matters a great deal. Rick Barnes' record in March is what it is. We have all talked about it ad nauseum. You understand that this man falls short when it comes to the most important time of the college basketball season. But Lucas, you were making the case to me, or at least posing the question, that Rick Barnes could be the best recruiter in the history of Tennessee basketball. Bruce Pearl did a lot of good work. But Rick Barnes, these are top flight guys. These are best in class players. And ultimately, especially in basketball, the way to supersede coaching deficiencies is if you just have a buttload of talent. That's what they're bringing into Tennessee right now.
And I made the case on UT podcast yesterday with Will Bowling. Go check it out, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. that the narrative on Rick Barnes has been completely flipped on its head, because 3 years ago it was what he can do with three stars to turn them into star players and get results in sharing an SEC title, getting to the Sweet 16, and now it's the complete other way around. There's been disappointing postseason results, but he's bringing in the best era of recruiting in modern Tennessee basketball history. It's been completely flipped.
It's incredible. It's incredible. So do the pros outweigh the cons, basically, with Rick Barnes? That's the question that Vols fans are asking themselves today. We're going to spend some more time on that with both Michael Felder and Mike Wilson. Mike Wilson, of course, of the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get a lot more of perspective from somebody who has boots on the ground. Mike Felder, of course, covers college football as a whole for Stadium. And we'll talk about my NFL quarterback conspiracy with Mike Felder. But what's going to come up next is said conspiracy theory. Because I was watching SportsCenter last night. I kind of talked about this at the start of the show. And Kirk Herbstreit is on with Scott Van Pelt. And essentially, the stat that is running along the bottom line of SportsCenter that night is a stat about quarterbacks that have been drafted in the last, basically, 5 years, 6 years of NFL draft, from 2014 to 2018. How only one of the players of the quarterbacks taken in the top five of the drafts between 2014 and 2018 are still on their original teams that drafted them. So I start doing this thing like we're talking about from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where I'm trying to draw connections with as many different things as I can, and I think I've come up with a pretty good conspiracy theory about how the position, or at least how the position is evaluated and how the position is viewed coming from college to the pros. We're going to spend some time on that coming up next. We're also going to ask you guys which of the five first-round quarterbacks have the best chance at a successful professional career. You have Trevor Lawrence. You have Zach Wilson. By almost consensus, the number one and number two picks in this coming up NFL draft in 14 days. We are 2 weeks away officially from the NFL draft. You are going to get all kinds of great coverage here leading up to that. And on draft night, a couple of the draft nights, here on 104.5 The Zone, Titans Radio has a ton of stuff prepared. So you have Trevor Lawrence, you have Zach Wilson, then the argument becomes, okay, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance, the most unknown, probably, of any of these prospects, but probably the one who has the highest talent ceiling. But people don't know. I heard Mel Kiper talking about this the other day. He said this is the most difficult prospect that he's ever had to evaluate because the tape sample size is so small, but the tangibles are off the charts. NFL Network's running a commercial right now. It's Josh Allen speaking to Trey Lance. Josh Allen, of course, played at Wyoming, small school, hugely talented quarterback, massive potential, but all of the knocks on him, right? Because we talk about the NFL draft evaluation process, looking for more reasons to draft or not draft these guys than reasons to draft these guys. So it's Josh Allen saying, hey, Trey Lance, ignore everybody because people were hard out on me my first couple years in the league, and now look what Josh Allen has become. Probably, I mean, he's Cam Newton, but better. Like, what his playing style is a more evolved version of Cam Newton, which is insane. So we're going to talk about which of those five guys has the best potential to have the best professional career. We're also going to get into my quarterback conspiracy theory. All that and more coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back in. Buck Rising with you until 1 o'clock here on 104.5 The Zone. Live streaming on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch TV. On your radio dial or wherever it is that you're streaming, the 104.5 The Zone app. Welcome in. So, if you missed any of it, in the first segment, Brandon Huntley Hatfield has announced his reclassification into the class of 2021 and his commitment to the University of Tennessee. Rick Barnes picks up a third massive recruiting win, basically in the last 2 days. Good stuff for Vols Hoops. We'll talk about that more later on in the show with Mike Wilson of the Knoxville News Sentinel. In the meantime, we have an NFL draft conspiracy theory having to do with the quarterbacks. that I'll get into in a second. If you want to weigh in with which of the five first-round draft prospects, the five first-round projected first-round quarterbacks, I heard Peter King talking about Kyle Trask as a first-round quarterback the other day, and I was very, very upset because I think that is ridiculous. You saw how bad he looked when all of his skill position players opted out for the bowl game. But I digress. Five of them. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, in no particular order, obviously. Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and then Mac Jones. These are the five first-round quarterbacks projected by everybody in big draft media, right? Who among them is going to have the best pro career? 615-737-1045 at Buck Rising on Twitter is where you can weigh in. But before we do that, so we have a system around here. Now that the show is on video, which very much excites me, other than the fact that I'm going to have to treat it like, you know, if I went to public school or something like that and I was having to pick out my outfits every day so I don't get made fun of. Nobody liked the Indiana crew neck yesterday. That's what I thought I'd do. I was very happy with myself, the Indiana crew neck. I love my alma mater. I'm going to be on video, so I'm going to rep it. Everybody was making fun of the Indiana crew neck yesterday. Makes me very upset. Somebody just wrote in on the Facebook live stream. Corey Jones says, Buck, I can't wait to hear your tennis coverage. I'll talk about that here in a second. That was pretty funny last night. Shout out V-Love. But now that the show is on video, we're going to have to, like, institute props. We're going to have to keep you guys engaged. We're live every day here. You guys are going to see everything that goes on in the studio. The first thing that we did is we had to move the casting couch out from behind me. This thing, what are you giggling about back there? Did I say something funny to you? Am I a clown? Do I amuse you? Don't wave me off. People can see Lucas now when he dismisses me. You can't just hide behind a closed microphone, bud. There's a camera on you, coward. So the casting couch behind me is gone. That was the first thing that needed to go. Next thing I'm coming after is these drapes. These are the things in the studio that are, this is my stated goal. I've said it on the air. It's now been documented. The drapes are my next victim. Casting couch went first. But now we have props in the studio. So on this show, we play a game. Every time I screw up, I have to pay a fine. When I'm late, I pay a fine. When I'm later than 9:30 for a 10 o'clock radio show, I pay a fine. When I blame Lucas Panzeca for something that is clearly my fault, I pay a fine. Those are the two fines that currently are instituted now. Lucas, to my knowledge, we don't yet have a third fine. Maybe we should slot these fines so one is worth more or costs me more money than the other. So today, at least once a week, I get to studio about 9:30. I get to studio about 9 o'clock today. And as soon as I go in my bag to get ready for the show, I realize I don't have my laptop. This is like the sixth time it's happened to me.
It happened so much.
Now, fortunately, I live 1.9 miles away from the 104.5 The Zone studios here in downtown Nashville. Real quick trip so I can go get my laptop, but not in time for me to make it back for 9:30. So I have brought with me from my home, for the radio audience who is listening to this, this is my fine bucket. This is now the show's fine bucket. Now, it's filled with change because I just pulled it out of my house. Now we are going to put this thing to actual use instead of me just, you know, on the occasion that I need, like, tequila money or something like that, taking this to a Coinstar and cashing it in. This is now the show's fine bucket. So for the radio, Alex Faulkner is tweeting us, pick of said casting couch, maybe Will Bowling. In between his streaming duties, can take a picture of the casting couch.
With him on the couch. Take a picture of Will Bowling on the casting couch.
We'll start a Will Bowling OnlyFans. 615-737-1045. So now, for the visual audience, the radio audience, here's the fine bucket. I am now taking the lid off of the fine bucket and placing $1 into the fine bucket. Okay? And this money will go to charity. We will have to determine, Lucas and myself, some kind of charity that at the end of the year we want to donate the fine bucket money to. So at least this, you know, my shame is fueling a good cause. So $1 in the fine bucket. But I'm gonna pay $2 this morning. I'm gonna tell you why. Because I was late for a reason. and it's a reason that's going to cost me money. I was late because of Lucas Panzeca. Lucas, what were we were going through, because I'm going to blame you, and I'm going to pay this extra fine because it's worth it to me to put another dollar in the fine bucket. That's as many fines, hopefully, as I'll have to pay today. But I was texting Lucas before the show, since I had to run home. We were on the phone, basically. We're running through, you know, who's on the show today. Lucas asked me, is Michael Felder of Stadium on Zoom or is he on the phone? And I said, I don't know, but I would check with him. And he says, okay, let me know what he says. I said, what do you mean? You didn't book him today? Stop hiding behind your microphone, coward. Speak.
I'm letting you go ahead.
No, finish.
You clearly are in the middle of something.
I'm in the middle of being fined because it's your fault. So I'm frantic at this point. Not frantic, because I can do a three-hour radio show without guests. It's no big deal. But I've planned stuff around Mike Felder. Like, we have a whole flow to the radio show that I want to make sure that we get done. And then all of a sudden, Lucas texts me, oh, wait, never mind, I'm an idiot. Words I can't say also in the text thread that cannot be said on terrestrial air. But essentially, you faked yourself out. You said to me that you do this often, and it's honestly unacceptable because I'm so spacey that it will totally throw me off. And in so faking me out this morning, Lucas made me leave my laptop at home, thus making me late to the radio show, thus costing me $2. Well worth my time. Defend yourself.
This is what you're going to do every time you forget your laptop? Like, find a part of our text chain that you can blame it on?
Hell yes! What do you mean?
So was that fine? You paid the extra dollar for me or for you?
I paid the extra dollar. You don't have a fine system. You're not getting fined. You got enough stuff on your plate. That much I am.
That's no fun.
What do you mean?
If I do things that deserve to be fined, I'm not saying I deserve to be fined for this because I don't, but if I do things that deserve to be fined, then I should be fined.
Okay, fine. We'll come up with a different fine system for Lucas Panzeca. Will Bowling take notes? You're going to loiter in here. You're going to take notes.
But what had happened was
you
know Mike Felder better than I do. Yes. You reached out to him. You said he's good, and then you passed me his information, and then I booked him. So that's what happened. But in the car ride to the station this morning, in my mind, I'm thinking, wait, no, Buck's the one that reached out to Mike. So Buck booked Mike, forgetting that I had booked Mike and had that brief moment of blanking out, and then it came back to me. I booked Mike. He'll be on at 11:20. He'll be on the phone, by the way.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for confirming that. So two fines. Well worth my time. Now we can talk about this NFL quarterback discussion. 615-737-1045 is how you can jump in on the conversation, because this is my quarterback conspiracy theory, all right? Last night on SportsCenter, Herb Street and SVP were talking about quarterbacks coming into the draft. They're going through the quarterback evaluation of the five top prospects and Kyle Trask, because he's being discussed as a potential now first-round draft prospect, which would be crazy to me, but I digress. So is Mac Jones going third overall, but this is the place that the San Francisco 49ers, that should be a fine, by the way, if I use that phrase.
Yeah.
I didn't do
it. But see, you've got me using that phrase now. I almost said this like twice on the UT podcast yesterday.
Yeah, suck it, nerd. 615-737-1045. This is not the place that we find ourselves, and I will not pay a fine, a third fine, at least in the first 20 minutes of the show. Anyway, Herb Street and Van Pelt, talking about quarterbacks, and the stat that's running along the bottom scroll on ESPN is that 7 of the 8 quarterbacks selected within the top 5 from 2014 to 2018 are no longer with the teams that drafted them. So there's a great many reasons why, but it got me thinking about something that really came up with Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson, some of these, Ryan Tannehill, guys that have been discussed recently for contract extensions, receive contract extensions, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota, because the Tennessee Titans just went through this kind of stuff, okay? So with that knowledge in mind, I went back through on Pro Football Reference, and I looked up the quarterbacks who were taken in the top 5 in each of those 5 drafts from 2014 to 2018. Obviously, 2019, we don't know enough yet. That's guys like Drew Locke. 2020. Who was the top quarterback taken in 2020? I should probably know this off the top of my head, but I'm blanking right now. Who is the top quarterback? I'll look that up really quickly. That's probably something I should know. Oh, Joe Burrow. Idiot. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, the first-round quarterbacks, T. taken. And then let's see. I have it in front of me. Oh, Tua. So Joe Burrow, Tua, Justin Herbert. Jury's still largely out on those three first-round quarterbacks. So we won't go back to that recent. But in 2014, Lucas, take a guess who the only quarterback drafted in the top five of the 2014 draft was. Now, if you don't remember who was in that draft, Jadeveon Clowney went number one overall. That's Taylor Lewan. That's Odell Beckham Jr. With that in mind, armed with that knowledge, who was the only quarterback taken in the first round, or excuse me, in the top five of the first round in 2014? I'll give you a hint, because that's a lot to, I'm asking you a lot right now, and you're busy. But he played for a divisional rival. He was the starting quarterback for a divisional rival. Any idea?
Oh, I'm gonna hate myself when you say it.
All right. Well, if I don't want us to get like a dead air fine or something like that, it's Blake Bortles.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, Blake Bortles went third overall to
that
the
Jacksonville Jaguars. That they
traded Jack. Up for. They traded up for Blake Bortles. Now that draft class, there are some obvious highlights, right? You have Clowney. Well, you know, you can go back and forth on Clowney. Sammy Watkins, Khalil Mack, Mike Evans, Lawan, Odell Beckham, Aaron Donald, Zach Martin. Like, there are some really good pros in that class. But then you have the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks stink. Bortles at three, probably the most successful quarterback out of that draft, was not taken in the first round. That would be probably Derek Carr out of the quarterbacks in that draft. Manziel, Bridgewater, and Jimmy G, all in that NFL draft. A very notable sports media personality, if I do remember correctly, wanted the Titans to take Johnny Manziel over Taylor Lewan. In fact, I think that made our bad Titans take
that
bracket.
That was the take that upset Luke Worsham's Bishop Sankey and David Kahn will be a nasty combo take.
That's still so bad. Bishop Sankey. So a terrible draft. The Titans obviously get Taylor Lewan and franchise player, right? Somebody who can play for your team for the next 8 to 10 years in 2014. So 2014, Blake Bortles, we understand what happened to Blake Bortles. 2015 is Jameis and Mariota. They go 1-2. So you have Mariota 1-2. Top 10 of that draft is ghastly. Ghastly. I will read you some names. Dante Fowler at 3. Amari Cooper, good player. Brandon Scherff, good player. Leonard Williams, good player. Not a highlight guy. Kevin White, Vic Beasley, Eric Flowers, and Todd Gurley. Okay? So everything outside of Jameis, Mariota, top 10 of that NFL draft, very, very bad. Jameis ends up in New Orleans on a one-year deal, throws as many interceptions as he did touchdowns, the only quarterback in NFL history to go 30 for 30. Marcus Mariota, injuries derail his career, and he ends up now as a journeyman backup, basically, with having to take a $7 million pay cut to stay in Las Vegas this year. 2016, Goff and Wentz, Paxton Lynch at 26. Looks like he's the only one of them out of football right now in that NFL draft class. Goff gets traded, Wentz gets traded. Both failed for different reasons. 2017 is where it gets interesting because you have Trubisky at 2, who they traded up for. To be determined Chicago ruined him or not. Go ahead.
When you say fail, you put that in the right context, right? Because Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl and Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate.
Okay, that's fair. Well, this is where my quarterback conspiracy comes from.
In terms of the long-term big picture.
That's what I'm saying. This is a long way of me getting that. I just wanted to set the scene for people so they understand why I'm getting to this place. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 2018, Mayfield as the first overall pick. Then Josh Allen at 7, Josh Rosen at 10, and the list goes on. Those were the first-round quarterbacks that year. Lamar Jackson at 32, the Baltimore Ravens traded back in to get him. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are still with their teams. Baker Mayfield, obviously, still with their team. I forgot Sam Darnold at 3. But the point stands that 7 of the 8 quarterbacks taken in the top 5, 5th overall picks, Corey Davis, you guys had high expectations for him. Those guys are supposed to be Pro Bowl caliber, All-Pro caliber, 10-year starters for your franchise, especially if they're the quarterback, right? That's always been the conventional thinking. but 7 of 8 of them in the last 5 years of NFL drafts, quarterbacks specifically, aren't on the same team that drafted them. Quarterback evaluation is changing. That's why I look at Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson and say, are they drafting these guys to be 10-year players for their teams? Is Lamar Jackson a 10-year starter for the Baltimore Ravens? Now, we know Patrick Mahomes got a $500 million contract because Patrick Mahomes is different. Deshaun Watson took a short-term deal, obviously dealing with many, many off-the-field issues right now. Football-wise, though, hugely talented. Outside of those guys who transcend, can quarterbacks not be more interchangeable? What I'm looking at when I look at Jared Goff and Carson Wentz is really, really good setups. The Eagles on that Super Bowl run, Nick Foles obviously being the quarterback of that Super Bowl team in the Super Bowl through the course of the playoffs because Wentz tore his ACL. Best offensive line in the sport. A defense that rolled them like 8 or 9 deep off the defensive line, like pressure in waves. That's where you started seeing more teams platoon pass rushers in a way instead of just rushing the same 4. Now, that's all, you've always had depth guys, right? It's never been a situation where you've rolled them, where it's just been the 4 or the 3 defensive linemen or outside linebackers that start with you. Those aren't the guys who play the entire game, obviously. But what Philadelphia was doing that year was, it felt a little bit different. In fact, I remember Brian Arakpo talking a lot about this heading into that year of training camp, where he's talking about, yeah, maybe I'd like to pay like 30, you know, 25, 30 snaps a game if I could, because we have those guys. They didn't end up having those guys, but Brian Arakpo is still a more effective pass rusher than anybody the Tennessee Titans had in a while. So now I'm looking at these quarterbacks. I'm looking at Mariota, Jameis Winston, Goff, Wentz, and I'm saying there are far more quarterbacks that are ruined in the NFL than actually end up developed. The situation, the fit is so critical to these guys succeeding that if they don't get maybe not everything right, but the vast majority of things right, it is so easy for these things to fall off a cliff. How quickly did Jared Goff go from Super Bowl quarterback, Super Bowl participant, Brady got him, the Patriots have gotten many, many teams, many, many quarterbacks over the history of 20 years. How far did Jared Goff fall in basically 2 seasons to where he's playing in a Super Bowl, hugely efficient because of Sean McVay and his offense, because they made it super easy around him? How far off did he fall to where he's being shipped off for parts to become, you know, essentially the godforsaken quarterback of the Detroit Lions, who are probably still going to look at a quarterback? How far did Carson Wentz fall? These guys got massive contracts from both the Rams and the Eagles, and both teams punted on these 2 players at the most important position in sports, or so we think. I still think it is if you got everything right, because without a quarterback, everything falls off a cliff, right? I don't have to tell Titans fans about this. They know what it was like before they got Ryan Tannehill, everything that happened in between Steve McNair and Ryan Tannehill. There were some spurts of good quarterback play.
A little bit of Matt Hasselbeck in there.
Matt Hasselbeck was not, it's Blaine Gabbert. It's not terrible, right? That's the analysis. Although Blaine Gabbert in that play-in game, pretty terrible.
Yeah, I wouldn't compare Gabbert to Hasselbeck.
Super Bowl, I'm just saying, like, that's always been my analysis of Blaine Gabbert. Nah, not terrible. Except when he was terrible, because the terrible moments did exist. Like, just knuckleballing a football into the chest of a linebacker in that winning in playoff game that Marcus Mariota obviously sat out from. But Mariota, Jameis Winston, Wentz, Goff, on down the list, guys that did not make it with their teams, even though their teams invested such high draft capital in them. Now, I'm not saying that the draft capital isn't worth it, because every once in a while you find Mahomes, you find Deshaun Watson, assuming that Deshaun Watson doesn't turn out to be a horrific human being, which is still being played out through the legal process, so we'll find out how that goes. But Jameis, Mariota, Bortles, Goff, Wentz, Trubisky. Awful. In part due to their own deficiencies, and also based on where they landed. Quarterbacks are becoming more disposable, and I think the NFL is figuring it out. And that's something that I think is going to happen to at least two of these five quarterbacks, something that we'll discuss more at length and with Mike Felder coming up next. Is there a theme I'm missing? What's happening in New York? You just want to hear some Alicia Keys this morning?
Is there anything wrong with that?
No, I love Alicia Keys. I nitpick. This is what I do. Buck Rising with you until 1 o'clock here on 104.5 The Zone. If you want to jump in on the conversation. By the way, live streamed on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch TV all throughout the course of the show. Is that correct? The whole show? We're here the whole time.
Whole show.
You're not going to be able to get rid of me.
Is that why you wore your glasses today?
Well, yeah. There's a ring light in front of my face.
Okay. It wasn't to look more scholarly?
No,
the audience?
I mean, I do look good.
I've never seen you wear those glasses in studio.
No, I've never worn these glasses in studio. I wear them at home all day because I sit in front of too many screens. You see how many screens are in front of me? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and a ring light. Are you kidding me? I'm like microwaving my brain.
There's no escape.
for your viewing and audio pleasure. 615-737-1045 if you want to jump in on the conversation. Been talking about these NFL quarterbacks or these draft prospect quarterbacks, five of them, we think, in the first round coming up in 2 weeks at the NFL draft in Cleveland, live and in person, the draft, for the first time in quite some time, given the global pandemic that has hovered over everything. So we spent some time on my quarterback conspiracy theory about how the position's becoming more disposable as I'm watching highlights of Jadeveon Clowney in Cleveland on SportsCenter. Man, we cannot, as a sports media, get enough of this dude. Did you guys watch any of his media availability yesterday? Got everybody fired up.
Browns fans are fired up.
Titans fans were fired
up. That's what's amazing, how he is energizing fan bases year after year after continuously just not putting out anything in terms of production and just injury. And people still just get excited at the potential because he's a number one overall pick and in his late 20s.
Yeah, I wrote about this for AtoZSportsNashville.com. We'll talk about that later in the show because I think there's a really clear and obvious fact. We got it on the radio show yesterday. The clear and obvious difference from Chuck Smith, Dr. Rush, about the biggest difference between Bud Dupree and Jadeveon Clowney. It was a really good conversation yesterday. If you care at all about why the Titans are or not getting pressure, that Chuck Smith interview, well worth your time. Buck Rising on 104.5 The Zone is the name of the podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. So we're talking about these quarterbacks. We're talking about my quarterback conspiracy theory. By the way, some interesting quotes coming out from Trevor Lawrence in a Sports Illustrated piece that was just released. I'll tell you what that was, because it would be damning, basically, if it came out of any other quarterback's mouth. And because it's Trevor Lawrence, he's being celebrated. And I don't want to take away from celebration of Trevor Lawrence. There is just such a clear and obvious difference between what happened to Justin Fields and what's happening to Trevor Lawrence. And we'll talk about that coming up next. But in the meantime, these five first-round quarterbacks. So I'm looking at Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. He has a two-round mock draft out at ESPN.com. We talked about it on Monday. For the Titans, he took Elijah Moore at 22, and in the second round, he took Asante Samuel Jr., the cornerback. So right now in Mel's mock draft, specifically for the quarterbacks, though, Trevor Lawrence to Jags, Zach Wilson to the Jets, Mac Jones to the San Francisco 49ers. Now, what he has in this particular draft is the Falcons trading back to 6, picking up Trey Lance, and then you see later in the mock draft, the Patriots trading up 5 spots from 15 to 10 to go get Justin Fields and satisfying the 5 first-round quarterback requirement, even though Peter King thinks Kyle Trask could be up in there, which is, again, asinine. Asinine, asinine, asinine. But these 5 quarterbacks, which among them do you think has the best potential pro career? Because I don't know of four of them. I think I have a decent idea, but there's one that I think that's a total crapshoot. And I'll explain why here in a second. But Lucas, as you look at Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, you have Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and then Trey Lance out of North Dakota State. Which among those five do you think is the best or potential best player at that position? Understanding where it is that just based off this mock draft, we're gonna assume that this is where they end up going. Justin Fields to the Patriots. Then you have Trey Lance to the Atlanta Falcons. You have Mac Jones to the Niners, Zach Wilson to the Jets, Trevor Lawrence to the Jags. Understanding those organizations and these five quarterbacks, who among them do you think would be in the best position to succeed?
You said Trey Lance to the Falcons?
Trey Lance to the Falcons.
At that point, I would point to the best situation, and I think I would go with Mac Jones with the 49ers.
Best offensive line in football, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, a lot of good skill position talent. The defense, I think, they've done well in drafting defensive linemen, but the defense was not very good last year. That was a
did take a step back.
It did take a step back, as defense is tough to translate.
And no Robert Saleh.
Big deal. Yeah, because he's now the head coach of the New York Jets, formerly defensive coordinator for San Francisco 49ers, regarded as one of the best defensive minds in the sport right now. So, understanding that, in an offense, to be the most statistically successful makes a lot of sense for Mac Jones. Not the most physically talented. That's been the biggest conversation. Although, if you translate like what Chuck Smith was saying about pass rushers to quarterbacks, it's not about the best athlete. Mac Jones has thrown for an outrageous amount of passing yards in college football. Mac Jones was a hugely efficient quarterback for Alabama. You understand that he had the best offensive line, the best wide receivers, the best running backs at Alabama, so it's tougher to I would argue that it's almost as tough to that doesn't make any sense what I was about to say. It's almost as tough to evaluate Mac Jones as it is to evaluate Trey Lance just because there's so much more film of Mac Jones. But what I'm saying is when I watch Mac Jones, when I go back and watch tape of Alabama offense, of the Alabama offense with him as the quarterback, he's never under duress. I don't ever have to see him like make plays while being pressured. Whereas you see that with Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, less so from Trey Lance just because the film sample size is so small.
Yeah, that's the catch-22 with Alabama quarterbacks, right? Like, that's listed as a weakness in Dane Brugler's draft guide, who we'll have on Monday for Mock Draft Monday, is that he was surrounded by such a good situation and often didn't even have to throw receivers open because they were so wide open.
Exactly.
But that's not on him. That's not his fault that he was in the best situation in football.
No, that's like the Bud Dupree argument. You can't knock Bud Dupree because he played across from T.J. Watt. You can grade the player based on the plays that you've seen. But I'm looking at the two organizations that are picking top two. I understand that they've had a regime change. I understand that Urban Meyer is going to get the first overall pick and has put together his staff and has signed players that he's familiar with. And that is what Urban Meyer is going to do. He has more control probably than any other coach in the NFL not named Belichick in year one, which is wild. But that was the only way that you were going to get Urban Meyer. It's as big a marketing play as anything else. But I don't trust Jacksonville or the New York Jets because of their history. What I'm looking at and I'm thinking that is the best position out of any of these guys is if the Patriots get their hand on Justin Fields, if you let Josh McDaniels get a hold of somebody who is as purely talented as Justin Fields. It's not just that he's a superior athlete. It's that he reads defenses in a way that he is being accused of not being able to read defenses. It's that he throws more often to his second or third progression than he does his first. It's that Justin Fields is being slept on and somehow is falling to 10 in this mock draft. I understand it's a mock draft. The NFL could be lying to us at length, but if Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and the New England Patriots get their hands on that player, well, then the rest of the NFL deserves what happens to them for all of the teams that ended up passing on Justin Fields. We will talk more about this at length, and I will tell you what Warren Sharp has pointed out about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence making some interesting statements to Sports Illustrated. Find out what those are coming up next. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.